Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
He was right there dead. And I told the officers, you guys are murderers, murderers, murderers. You guys killed that baby for nothing. You took him away from his kids. For nothing. He didn't even do nothing to nobody.
That's the voice of Saquita Thompson, the grandmother of 22-year-old Stephon Clark, after Clark was shot and killed by police late Sunday night in Sacramento, California. Clark is African American. He was living at his grandparents' home. Police arrived that night responding to reports that someone fitting Clark's description was breaking car windows in the neighborhood. What happened next was recorded on a helicopter camera and on body cams worn by officers. Clark was pursued by police officers. He ran into his grandparents' backyard. There he was shot by police who said they thought he was armed, as you can hear in this disturbing body cam footage.
Show me your hands! Gun, gun, gun! Seven shots fired, subject down. Show me your hands!
See your hands!
When police approached Stephon Clark's body, they found no weapon. His grandmother described the scene she saw through the rear window of her house.
His body was there, right there. Right there was my grandson dead with the iPhone right there on the thing, and I have a picture of it.
Sacramento police later released a message on their Facebook page stating in part that the only item found near the suspect was a cell phone and that they're investigating and working with the community to get to the bottom of what happened. I'm Todd Zwillick, and this is The Takeaway. Anita Chabrier is the senior writer on race, immigration, and social justice for the Sacramento Bee. She joins me now along with Ken Barnes, a public affairs consultant who grew up in Sacramento and lives there now. Anita, Ken, thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you, Todd.
Nice to be here.
Anita, let me start with you. You've seen the body cam footage along with the rest of Sacramento now. You've seen the video from the helicopter and heard the 911 calls. What stands out to you viewing all of these pieces of information together?
There's a couple things, actually, that I think are important about the video. First, it's released 3 days after the event happened. And I do think that's something that needs to be pointed out. That is the result of the killing of an unarmed, mentally ill black man named Joseph Mann that happened in 2016 in Sacramento and led to both a new police chief and a series of reforms. One of those reforms being that video and critical incidents has to be released within 30 days. But this chief has made an unprecedented effort to get it out there even faster. So I do think the department deserves credit for putting this video out so very quickly. The video itself obviously is incredibly disturbing. It happens so fast and it's so chaotic. And you do see the officer shooting within seconds of encountering Stephon. The third thing I think is we cannot underestimate the importance of is that in the aftermath of the shooting, what appears to be a sergeant or a supervisor coming to the scene tells the officers to mute their mics. And that is, to me, a total violation of the spirit of our reforms, if not the letter of them, and it might be a violation of the letter of them as well.
We'll talk more about those reforms and the history going back to the shooting that you described in 2016, Anita. Talk just for a moment, please, about Stephon Clark. What do we know about him?
We know that Stephon was living with his grandparents and some siblings in a neighborhood called Meadowview. It's an area in South Sacramento that historically is a very working class neighborhood, very ethnically diverse, and has always had a tenuous relationship with law enforcement, a lot of community mistrust around law enforcement. He is the father of two. The children are living with their mother in a separate residence. We don't know a whole lot about what he was doing that day prior to that. We know he had left the house around 6 p.m. to go out with friends. And then the next time we know of his whereabouts is on the side of the house where what we do know is that the front doorbell of that home was broken. And so the family and the grandparents are not mobile. The father is the grandfather's in a wheelchair. The grandmother had had open heart surgery. So the habit of everyone staying in the house was simply to go around back and knock on the window, and they would use the garage door opener to open the garage door. So to have Stefan on the side of the house heading to the backyard to the family was a very normal thing.
Ken, what has the reaction in the community been like since the shooting in the several days and the reactions to it?
You know, generally speaking, it's been one of distrust. You know, as Anita pointed out, this is the Meadowview area. I grew up in that neighborhood too. I don't live there any longer. But most of us, particularly black males, have a fairly long and sordid history with the Sacramento Police Department that stretches back multiple decades. I'm 47, and these are some of the same issues we dealt with when I was a teenager in the 80s. I will say what's about this case that's particularly unique is that the video was released so quickly. And that's a result of, we have a new police chief, Daniel Hahn, who comes from our community. And he's been on the job about 6 months now. And this is a major reform. I mean, the fact that they have 30 days, they did it in less than 3 days, and we're able to kind of witness these things and see what's happening. It's difficult because the force escalation with persons of color, particularly black males, seems to be so quick. You know, it's an encounter. There's a demand, a command given, and then shots ring out. And so that's kind of at the core of one of the challenges. And then everything's about context, right, Todd? So you look at, she mentioned, you know, Joseph Mann being run down by police officers in July 2016. Just 9 months later, Nnamdi Kane, that a lot of persons across the country know about, was arrested and beat for jaywalking, goes to jail and finds himself abused there. And so that's the context of the trust, not to mention the national things that are happening. So getting to a point to where you can trust the words of the police department and the reports is going to be difficult. But I do think that we've been moving towards that. And this situation, you know, isn't a cut and dry. It's not a black and white situation. It's a tough thing to discuss. But this was someone who was seen on helicopters running and jumping through backyard fences, a 911 call that kind of matches up to the things that they encountered on the ground when the police arrived. And then someone not following commands. I think the main issue here is, you know, but why does it escalate to a 20-shot hail of bullets versus an opportunity for someone to put their hands up, to for someone to comply with orders?
We're talking about the police shooting of 22-year-old Stefan Clark in Sacramento, California. This is The Takeaway. Well, Anita, one of the main issues, of course, it's not cut and dry, as Ken says. The main issue, though, it seems in the final analysis, is whether indeed he was armed, and the very quick latency between when cops told him to put up his hands and shots ring out. The video shows officers also going in the dark into the backyard. And then I want to play you one other piece of this. There are a lot of shots, and then several minutes of time before police approach Stefan Clark's body to give him medical attention.
Hey, can you hear us? If you can hear us.
Can you hear us?
We need to know if you're okay. We need to get you medics, but we can't go over there to get you help unless we know you don't have the weapon.
Anita, this is at the point when Stefan Clark is already on the ground, presumably dead, although it's impossible to know at that point. It does take police several minutes to get to him, and this is part of the overall context of this video that I imagine the community is reacting to here.
Absolutely. I think that is something that question was raised at a city hall meeting the day after it happened. It is definitely a question in the community, and it's a question, I think, for all of us. That is a long delay of 7 minutes before anyone even approaches him, much less gives him any kind of aid. And then there is a standard practice. It is their general orders that they handcuff a suspect like that prior to giving aid, and that is another really big sticking point for the community. Does that need to be done when someone's so clearly injured? So absolutely, you're going to see a lot of questions around, was aid given quickly enough?
Now, Ken, you and Anita both mentioned the shooting in July 2016 of an unarmed, mentally ill black man named Joseph Mann that's led to several reforms in the city, and the release of this video footage is part of that reforms. You've lived in the community your whole life. Do you have a sense now that even though another shooting has occurred, that the reforms have taken root in a way that the community feels like the police are more enrolled in accountability here?
I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but for myself personally, I feel that we're moving toward a better outcome, a better set of outcomes, and better accountability on the police department. You know, since that time, we both demanded that there be audio and video cameras on all law enforcement officers. That's happened. We demanded that we have new leadership. We got a new chief. So it does take time. We can't expect a miracle to happen overnight. I will say, talking about the aftermath of the shooting, not only was it concerning that there wasn't aid given much more quickly after the shooting, but muting those mics those last 2 minutes of the body camera, the reason why that's kind of disturbing, because it leads your mind to race and wonder, you know, are they getting a story together to have it sync up properly? And the thing is, you can leave that audio on. They have the ability to go back in and mute out privacy for privacy purposes, just like they did on the 911 call. So there's really no reason to have a mute happen, it would seem to me, while in the field. That's something that should be looked at administratively after the fact. You know, overall, I think this is going to, you know, how this plays out will be how transparent the law enforcement is with this. To date, I think they've been pretty excellent with it. There's obviously a lot of questions to be answered. And, you know, there's something that maybe is uncomfortable to talk about, but you also have to make sure that police officers go home too. And so it's hard to maybe just pass a snap judgment by saying, hey, look, I saw a couple of little over a video, and so you did something wrong. And it's hard to say that sometimes, particularly when your experience with them has been so ugly. But again, this is not some situation where they hunted someone down or someone was sitting in their backyard having a soft drink, cops walk in and shoot them dead. And I think to market it as that, to portray it as that sort of instance, that's also unfair to the police department, and doesn't really do anything to try to heal this rift between the community and those that are policing us.
Okay, Ken, let me make sure I end with Anita. Anita, what's next in this investigation?
Accountability. So Ken is right. We have transparency. That is a sea change from our last chief and how the department was run. But what the community wants now is accountability, that next step. You're showing us the information. What are you going to do with it?
Anita Chabrier is senior writer on race, immigration, and social justice for the Sacramento Bee, and Ken Barnes, a public affairs consultant from Sacramento. Anita, Ken, thank you both so much for joining me to talk about the shooting death of Stephon Clark, 22 years old, in Sacramento.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Todd.